Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Tom Paul on the Permaculture Central Blog Talk Radio show, and I can hear Joey breathing. Joey, are you there?
I'm here.
Sounds like you're alive.
I just made it.
Well, I'll tell you, this was one of our fun days with technology here on the farm. And that's part of something permaculture you have to kind of think of, because are we going to be Amish with no electricity? I mean, how extreme do we want to be? I don't think that's where I want to go. But anyway, today's topic is, let me look, permaculture design certification PDC courses. So we wanted to talk about, you know, how does one get certified? And because you can learn stuff on the web, but, you know, why would one take a course? And also, what can you do with it once you've done that? So, Joey, how's your day going so far?
Yeah, it's going good. I pruned some trees today for work and that type of stuff. And I was like, what are we going to talk about today? I was thinking that while I was at work. And then, because sometimes I think, oh gosh, I don't know if I have anything left to talk about permaculture. And I go, that can't be true. So, because I usually am not ever at a loss for words.
Ever.
Oh, yeah. So, what I figured out was that what are we going to do? I said, I think we're going to do PDCs. Because that's a big part of permaculture is to furthering this method of learning the design science or getting familiar with it, you know, to broaden your.
And I think we wanted to kind of plant a seed. Is like, it's one thing to talk about permaculture generally, but we really need leaders to come forward and who are trained from, you know, basically from the textbook to make sure that they're, you know, qualified to go out there and start spreading this in a bigger way. It's more than just being an armchair permaculturist. It's, we really need leaders to get out there and to start giving consultations and start helping people with getting designs out there.
Well, and then becoming familiar with the different aspects of permaculture. Because, right, if you're just, you know, you hear about permaculture and there may be, and then you go, oh, and then somebody's doing something and you think it's cool. Well, that's not the full scope of permaculture. And when you take a permaculture design certificate course, You are, let's say, I don't, you know, you're requested or required, but more, the course is designed to have you learn a lot of the different aspects of permaculture design, not just one thing in particular. You look at it as a whole systems design approach. So, you know, you're looking at... Well, we'll get into this.
Is it kind of like the umbrella, and then later on, if you want to specialize in something later on, you can go and... Because, like, this permaculture is a design science, and there's a whole bunch of branches within that. And then within permaculture, then you also have special... So some people are earthworks people. Some people are water. You know, it's all... Like, I think the PDC is more of like a general overview, what I call an umbrella. And then later on, you can have additional training. Wait,
well,
go ahead.
Well, yeah, you have that effect where you, I mean, let's see. What I keep thinking about is you get trained. Basically, it is the idea is that when granted, it's a good instructor that has a good grasp of the material and ideally some designing under his or her belt. Ideally they've done some actual installations or done some of the work that they can impart to you as a teacher this in part, you know, teachings in general, and become get you familiar with the broad scope of the material, so that when you even if you don't, let's say this too, even if you don't go on to do consulting, you've been informed. Your consciousness has been, your mind has been opened to a lot of new things. And when you take that PDC, that's what it does at one time, or let's say over the period of days, it fills your mind with all sorts of new ideas, not just ones about gardening, not just ones about food forestry, or not just ones about water harvesting. It's like all of those and more. If the PDC is following the text in the basically set up by Bill Mollison too, you know, with the permaculture design manual, if they're following that text right there, which most of the PDCs do, you're going to go over the whole book and a teacher is going to help you. And so, you know, just to try to sit down and read this large text, which I think is, this is like got to be like four, it's like 500 pages. Yeah, 540 pages or something. To go over that amount of material all by yourself is pretty daunting. So what the PDC, the Permaculture Design Course, does is it takes you over that material over a span of days, and there's a teacher there to help and ideally answer questions that may arise and put you into a place with other people that are interested in the same thing together to come up with some designs and give you a design challenge. Because ideally, the vision is that you go out eventually and maybe design your own house. And maybe that's all it's for. You know, just for you to design your own property. And then, but it's a course. And there's no course like it right now out in the world that covers all different kinds of, all the different bases of human habitation. Where you have your houses, your care of the earth, and you have your different, even community type of situations, considerations of where you would build. And that's an interesting situation too for people who are looking to maybe they're ready to buy a piece of land, or they're ready to build a home somewhere, or they want to move. Just taking a PDC helps in formulating an ideal place to move according to what you would like. And that's what that's the really nice part about taking the PDC is you start to be able to put together, you've got a training under your belt now that helps you make out lists, let's say, of priorities. And helps you think about them that way and things that you could accomplish. Because sometimes it's hard to accomplish everything. So maybe there's some things you can do to, and when I say things you can do, I mean I'm saying things you can do to maybe reduce your impact on different agricultural systems, like an idea of growing your own food, or maybe catching rainwater, or your impact could be putting solar panels on your house. Or, I mean, the impact could be you building a house. You thought you were going to build it this one way, but you took a PDC, and now you've understood that you're going to build a house like this, or you're going to look for a house with these attributes. Or even if you were going to rent and lease land, you're going to do it that way. You're going to look for something like that's, this is an example I like to give because lots of people, even in an urban setting, you may be living in an apartment or a condo or something, and you're going to rent, and maybe you move a little bit now and then to a different place, or you want to move. If you're renting, you can take a PDC and then decide, I want to move somewhere else because you're just renting. And you could find an apartment or a condo that faces, let's say, over here in the northern hemisphere, that condo, the wind, say the condo you have, you heat it a lot in the winter. And then you take a PDC and you learn more about where the sun is in the winter and where the sun is in the summer. And that if you had a condo or an apartment or something with windows that faced south, you could get that sun from that sunshine in the winter that would come in those windows. Instead of being on the north side of the complex where you get no sun in the winter, you could be on the south side of the complex. And you start to just simple things like that. It changes your mind when you start learning about those things that relate to nature, and there's a lot of that in the PDC, is the patterns of nature, and it starts to bring awareness. It brings the awareness of what's going on to you through the study of the book, through the teacher teaching, you know, through interacting with people. And the coolest thing too is if you can take a PDC somewhere where those things are being considered. Like maybe a building is designed a certain way to harvest those free energies like that. Or that they're doing earthworks already, or they're doing some kind of gardening situations. I mean, that's a real great thing too. If you can't get it, get to see that, you just take it in a classroom somewhere, that's okay, no problem. But you're gonna get the information. And you're gonna hear it, and you get
Stop right there, you guys. This is my first video.
What is that?
I don't know. I'm sorry. Keep going. You're learning. You're meeting other people who are like when you went to yours. You had people from all over the planet. Tell us about how that helped enrich your experience.
Well, when I got my PDC, I went to Australia because I wanted to go somewhere and see a site, a site that was bought and built, you know, with being a permaculture demonstration site. I wanted to see how a bigger operation was run. I had a few, a lot of things that I wanted to get from the PDC. I wanted to see, and so what I just chose to do was go get a PDC from Jeff Lawton. So we saved up some money, and then my parents helped with the plane ticket, and flew and went over to Australia and took the PDC there, and also hung out a little bit longer on the farm. Because that's what I thought would be a great experience because of what we wanted to do with our demonstration site and what I hope to do and as the future comes. So, there was the thing I didn't even think about that Paul mentioned. I got there. Well, there's people from Australia. There's people from all over the world. There's people from Japan there, New Zealand. Where she was from, Argentina, I think. There was a guy from South Carolina. There was a bunch of, there's different, a guy from Mexico. And then I started talking. There were people from Australia. And we just started talking. And I started to get on. And it's fun to see all the different people interested in permaculture and hear about what they're doing or where they're going to go off and what they plan to do or what they hope to do. And just seeing that, it's always interesting to see how many different kinds of people are interested in permaculture and what other things they're interested in, accompanying that and what they were going to use the PDC for. And some of them were just using it for purely just education. I mean, they didn't plan on becoming like permaculture designers or teaching PDCs. They weren't taking it. They were taking it more for the experience than some of these people were than using the PDC, which is something you can do. You can take the PDC and become informed and educated and then practice, and you can also teach PDCs once you've taken a PDC. So that is, then that's the idea. The idea is that's why Bill and David, they came up with the course, is so that people would take the course and then go give the course to other people and spread, you know, the design science, permaculture, and make it easy for people to do, you know, where, so they could just keep sharing it. To become good at anything, you've got to practice. So if you're going to become a good designer, you got to start practicing designing.
Well, the truth is, and it takes, I mean, there's a certain number of hours to complete the course, but when I look at Joey, I mean, Joey, this is his life. Like, he works hard every day, but he has his normal job that he goes to a couple days a week. And then even on those days, he's still contributing to his own farm. And then on the other days, when he's not working his job, it's full time. I mean, he's put so many hours in, and he learns every single day. And there's never a dull moment. And so for someone to think, oh, I'm going to take a course, but then never implement anything at their house, I don't know if you're going to be a good teacher or not, because I think the actual experience is the best teacher. What do you think, Joey?
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, you could teach the text in the book. You could memorize the text and teach it very well. But when it came time for questions, you might not have you wouldn't have the experience on the ground to give sometimes you wouldn't be able to give the most practical situations or practical answers to these questions, or you wouldn't be able to also, it seems lots of times with us peoples, that we don't really listen, or we can't hear very well if you're going to answer the question with just more data or more text instead of answering the question with an experience and a story of your experience that you've had.
How you applied it in real life.
Exactly.
Well, an example is, like, I used to manage a help desk for a software, you know, people would call the help desk to get help with their computer. And we hired this guy. He had the best grades, had all the certifications, I mean, everything. On paper, he was incredible. But when it came to customer service and really understanding the problems, he was horrible. I mean, it was a huge disconnect because he didn't have the people experience, the experience actually troubleshooting. He had the certifications, but along with it, over time, he had to build up those other skills, like listening skills and communication skills and actual troubleshooting. So I think in this case, I mean, I'm not trying to discourage anyone. I think everyone should try to find a PDC course in your area if you can. And then once you do that, apply that to your own situation. And if you don't, let's say you live in a condo or an apartment, you really don't have space to do it, there's plenty of opportunities. You can volunteer at a community garden. You could find out on meetup.com or Craigslist if there's anyone out there with a farm, or, you know, maybe there's, you know, someone who's doing permaculture in your area. Go and volunteer. Be a woofer. Go out and, you know, get that experience under your belt, because that way together we're strong. We can do a lot more when we're doing it with one another. But if we're all alone, it's kind of hard to accomplish as much. So anyway, I'm not downplaying the certification. I'm all 100% for it, and I actually want to promote it. We're having one here in March at Tipuana Farm here in Southern California. And Joey, tell us what you know so far about that. Who's going to be teaching? And
oh well,
can you say anything about it, or is it all top secret?
Well, I haven't talked to enough people yet. I mean, let's just say that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
In right after the Permaculture Voices conference. We're going to have a 2-week intensive a PDC here at our little farm.
All right, so 2 weeks is, how does it work? You have five days of class?
Yeah, you have 10 days of class.
Well, 5 days of class and then a break.
Right.
And then 5 days of class, right?
That's right. 72 hours of course time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the teacher will determine how much of that is in class and how much of that is outside and hands-on. Like, for instance, at Jeff's, when we were at Jeff's, it's a lot of classroom time. We sit there and working. He's doing stuff on the board, and we're going through. He's taking you through the whole book, like, and really getting the information in your brain. So this one is, and it's really up to the teacher. That's what's interesting, too, about this course. I mean, each teacher, there's no set curriculum. Say that word for me.
Curriculum.
There it is. There isn't any set one, so you know people can be very creative with how they present the material.
Yeah.
And you know, I've only been to one.
Right. So you mentioned the Permaculture Voices conference, and we do mention this on our show regularly, but we'll highlight this again. Coming in March. Here in Temecula, California, which is Southern California. It's a beautiful area. I can almost guarantee beautiful, beautiful weather, right? I mean, is it ever not nice there? It's like one of the nicest places you could go as far as the weather. And it does get hot in the summer, though. Anyway, so there's Permaculture Voices conference at permaculturevoices.com. There's incredible keynote speakers, these leaders throughout the industry who are totally, I mean, it's so exciting, and I highly encourage you, if you can, to save up to come to that, because when you hear these leaders, they're going to inspire you it's going to set you on fire. Like, you're going to want to go and do this stuff. And then right after, Joey's going to have the PDC training here at Tipawanna Farm, which is not far from where the conference is going to be. And so I think it's going to be really neat. And as far as Permaculture Voices, right now they're giving group discounts. So if you have five or more people who want to go, you can get a group discount. And so you might want to ask your friends. And, you know, if you're in a corporation, because I was in corporate world for over 20 years, and we could go to conferences that weren't even necessarily within our industry. Like, it could be a related thing. So perhaps you're working a corporation and you know that you can go to conferences. No matter what you're in, I think there's ways to apply permaculture to your business. So being more green and, you know, looking, permaculture is like a design science, but it looks at nature and the systems within nature, so the ecosystem. So even as team building, you could say, well, how does permaculture apply to our organization in a corporation? Anyway, it's kind of a bizarre thought there, but anyway, try to visit the website, permaculturevoices.com, and we'll see you there, hopefully.
Speaking of that, I mean, just thinking about that too, is this kind of ties in with PDC too, is even going to that conference where you have these, you know, these professionals speaking. And these are accomplished speakers, you know, with careers doing this and working on these different projects. They have Paul and I were talking about the two men that were involved that we talked to with the city that here in San Marcos, that they could go. It would be great for them to go. We couldn't see any reason why the city would not have somebody go to this conference, because it's about, you know, humans.
Well, also, and these two gentlemen, the directors that we met with, they're in charge of land for the city. So one's in charge of urban, you know, housing, affordable housing, and the other person is in charge of the parks and recreation, all the different parks that the city owns and maintaining those. And both of them need to know about designing and establishing systems which can conserve energy, conserve water, you know, all these different things that permaculture can help. So if you work for the city, just try to attend. Or if you know someone that works for the city, say, hey, I heard about a really awesome conference. And the cities are really, like, I don't want to say competing against each other, but I know in our area we have Carlsbad, which has, they're known for this, their flower fields. Literally, people come from all over the world to visit these famous flower fields. And also, other people come for the water, Carlsbad water. And so that's Carlsbad. Then we have Escondido has the Performing Arts Center, and we have Vista has the Botanical Center, you know, Alta Vista Botanical Garden. We have all these different things. Oceanside is famous for the military and
pier.
They have the pier. Anyway, so San Marcos, which I think is really cutting edge as far as like what, you know, they're really forward thinking what they want to do. They want to put in, you know, community areas that are multi-purpose, that can grow food and to help provide services for the citizens. And, you know, we talked about perhaps having, you know, food forests, but ecotourism come. And I think cities should start thinking about that.
Right. And if they want, because a lot of cities are looking for, what do I say, new ideas, because of, they had all these what they call the redevelopment money here in California. A lot of cities got cut back here in the United States. A lot of cities have financially got money taken away or not given, however you want to say that, or the economy itself. So there's communities also in cities could think about becoming more, a little more, you could say, self-reliant. But, you know, not in extreme fashion, but just a little more aware of it at least, and at least putting it out there within the community and doing some things that are more, a little more progressive. Or, and you could do, I mean, what the thing we were talking about with the one nature center area was, you know, teaching people how to compost, teaching some different courses there, and just educating people about some of the different things, some of the positive effects they could have within their homes or within their community. And that's another thing to think about, is that that's a place, when you take a PDC too, you can become, you know, inspired from the information and from the education that it gives. Because you have this whole new set of information. Some of it you may have never known. Some of it you may have already known. But the point is that you can get inspired, and you can actually go out and, you know, start to help people. Maybe kind of. I mean, because that's what it's going to take. I mean, if we're gonna keep living here on this planet, we're gonna have to become educated on like the real things too that are going on, not just, you know, how to use your iPhone and how what tricky apps to get, or what, you know, or not just how to run computers, or how to run, you know, manage a shopping center and stuff. It's just going to be like everybody's going to have a little bit. I'm not saying they're all going to do it, but everybody's going to have to start to get a little bit of knowledge about nature.
Well, Joey, come on. Listen.
Tell it to me.
I'm going
to
tell you. When computers first came out, there were people that said, oh, I don't need to learn about that. That's beyond me. You can't even, I mean, we can't have this radio show without a computer, Joey.
That's why I said it just can't be just computers.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. And what Joey is saying is that you think, oh, I don't need to know how to learn how to grow food. I don't need to learn how to conserve water. I don't need to know how to, you know, work with people and survive on different things. Yes, you do. You do need to have exposure to this, because this has been taken away from us. Like when I was growing up, I'm 47 years old. Okay, everyone, now you know.
Yeah.
I'm 47. And I never had any exposure to growing food in my education. And I grew up in the city, and if I had to, I mean, I'm an Eagle Scout, and I had a little bit of, you know, exposure to nature. But I'm telling you, we don't know how to do this. And I'm not a doomsday person. I'm not saying that at all. But I do think having knowledge that you can grow tomatoes, you can grow carrots, you can grow onions and lettuce and beans, and you don't have to go to the store to get all this stuff. Now, are you going to be completely independent? No, of course not. You're not. It takes a lot of work. But for me, what's happened is I'm like, well, it sounds interesting. And it literally took me 8 years of buying books and reading books to actually get out there and plant my first tomato plant. Now, I had taken care of roses and gardenias for years. I was a gardener, and there was a lot of joy in that. But it wasn't until I started with the food that I realized, wow, like I can use the exact same amount of energy and actually have production, because you can have vegetables and fruit that have flowers. Like my fruit trees are gorgeous when they're blooming. Like when you plant gardenias, they don't bloom all year round. You have to wait for the season that the gardenias bloom. Same thing with the peach tree or the apple tree, the cherry tree. But I guarantee you, they're more beautiful. So if you want an ornamental garden, plant some fruit trees. You'll be very surprised. Go for it.
Well, that it's true. And when you start, what I like to think about a lot is the idea of PD, you know, permaculture design courses and permaculture itself and all these, and some of these different modalities that have to do with earth care is this main thrust to get people the information and start the mind, start the process, start the thinking, start it so that like somebody gets it and they get excited and they just start sharing it, and maybe they're a teacher in a school, you know, and sadly a lot of schools, even when they build new ones, they're not passive solar. It's something simple. They're going to build a whole brand new school. And somebody wasn't there to say, if you put the windows on the south side of the building, in the winter, you will save so much money on heating. Their space will be so much more comfortable. There'll be so much more light in the building. You won't have to have the fluorescence on. The children will be healthier. Their minds will be better from that sun in the winter being there. And because the windows are on the south side, you know, getting all that sun in the winter, in the summer, here in the northern hemisphere, the sun won't be beating through the windows and heating up the building, because the windows aren't like right on the west side or of the building, or it's just those ideas, just thinking about that. And if you start educating the children on these things, which they don't yet, but you know, they're just focused on other things right now, but as this stuff starts to become more important, just the example set, you know, this permaculture is only the word is only 30 years old, basically. So that's not a very long time. It's starting to get into colleges. Those colleges are interested in permaculture now, and the idea of an applied design science that's got a whole systems approach, because more people are getting into whole systems approaches where that you don't think about just, let's say, for a house, if people are familiar with how house systems work. They're not, I'm just going to think about the plumbing and that's all I've got to think about. You know, no, I'm just going to think about the walls. You know, they think about the whole process and all the different things that go in to make the house function. It's the same with a building, you know, trying to, let's say for a school or even an industrial complex. It's like, how do you you're going to build this thing from scratch. You could put it any way you want, basically. You know, do you put the buildings so they get a certain amount of sun, and that the parking lots take water and put them into like a bioswale before the water goes out into like a creek or somewhere else? Do you let the water go through a little bit of filtration process after coming off the hardscape? Or, you know, do you make enough space to do that? Are you even required? Most places, you know, they don't require people to have to do that, but eventually it's happening other places, but where they have to treat, you know, do some kind of passive treatment to the water before it gets discharged. So, you know, but thinking about the whole issue there, are you going to put, you know, where could you put, if in the future you put solar panels on this industrial complex or on this school, did you design it to be able to accept the solar panels and have them have a good aspect to the sun? Did you account for the wind? You know, do we get these winds that come in from this way? So how did you put everything? Are people going to, how did you design the area and the trees? Did you really think about how the trees are going to grow, or just put them in because they look good right when they're in, but in 10 years they're going to be like way oversized or smashing against the building, or they're going to be shading an area that wasn't even a good place to put shade? You know, in the future, as the future keeps coming towards us, these are going to be things that are going to almost be imperative. You're going to have to think about those things, because as fossil fuels keep getting more expensive, though we don't always notice it here in America, except when we just had our economic collapse back then. I think oil went up to like $147 a barrel from 50 or whatever it was, some ridiculous jump. Well, everything changed, you know. So over in Europe, and when I was in Australia, I was like, how much for this gas? You know, it's a lot less expensive here. In California, it's expensive. You go to other states, it's a lot less expensive. But when that changes and it becomes more rare and things, you're not going to have as much, you know, cheap energy. So the way you design a place to accept solar, the way you design something to accept this, you know, the sun from the south in the winter, the way you design a building to accept the cool breezes that flow in the summer but shelter the warm breezes away from the building, and these types of things, that saves energy. And when energy starts to become more and more expensive, this is going to be something important. But unfortunately, most of our designs, this is the idea of taking PDC, is that you start to become familiar with these things, and maybe even if you don't practice them per se, you become educated in them and maybe inspire somebody else to do something just by telling them what you've learned, not what you've done, but what you've learned. You can learn the stuff, but you might not have done it, but you can share it with somebody and they may go do it. But the idea is there, is that if we're going to move forward and we're going to do it in a positive way and we're going to make some progress here, then some advancement, we're going to have to start thinking about that. You know, or move to climates that are, you know, there's a lot of different strategies there. But this is the real point, you know, are you going to move far away? Let's get, for example, I had this idea. I bought this property out kind of, it's not too far away from the city itself, the downtown San Diego. It's like 30 minutes. And it's not horribly far away, but it was kind of up in the hills. Great place to build a little cabin, all the water I could ever want. There's a beautiful aquifer up there, unpolluted, untainted, because there was no agriculture there. It's like up on the top of this mountain area. There's like a seasonal creeks came through the property. We still have it. But am I ever going to move there? I just don't think so. Unless I was going to the energy it takes to drive up and down that hill. I mean, the idea would be that I'd just stay there. It's so far, it's far enough away from people in general, like people to, if for me, because I'd like to teach, I like teaching. So there's, you know, bringing people up and down that hill, you know, if they were going to come to the site up there, it's just, it's not practical.
It's not practical because that road going down to a property, Joey, is just, I mean, it's so steep and it's just not meant, you can't bring people there.
Right, and so we were there for a little bit. We built a little strawville cabin thing. We almost finished it, but a fire came through and burnt everything down. And at that point, I was just like, I think it was back in 2007. I just said, and then I had a little business going for tree work and tree care. And it was just, I realized that, and I had one kid when we, did I even have a child yet? I think I might have had one child when we bought it. But that was just like, what are you going to do with the kids? You're going to keep them all up here? Is that the lifestyle I'm going to live? And really, I mean, if you're going to live that lifestyle, it'd be more fun maybe to live it like up in the woods somewhere. But, you know, I wasn't going to do that. And it just became more and more reality as time went on that that was too far away to use the energy to come up and down the hill. If I was going to teach people, I wouldn't have them come up the hill, or that's just not where people are living. And everybody lives closer to cities. And so, and my kids want to be play with other kids and they're have so far they've gotten into sports and things. So, that wasn't practical. That wasn't a good use of energy. I'm glad I didn't invest money. I bought it, you know, but that was kind of good because, you know, that's when you buy property like that, that you, it's become a savings account really, because we pay for it, but it's allowed, anyways, no, that's another story, but the idea is just thinking about the amount of energy something's going to use. And what a PDC does is that it gets you prepared for that kind of thinking, and it helps accelerate that kind of thinking because you know how to process it. And what I mean by that is you know, you might think, oh, okay, I want to save energy. Well, how do I do it? Is it just meaning what you kind of heard? Well, saving energy means turning off the lights. Saving energy means not driving so far. Okay. Saving energy means getting solar panels, because that's kind of what's out there now. But there's so much more that can be done to save energy. And some of it may be in your power, and some of it may be not be right now in your power. But the power, really, I would say, is in the education and in the knowledge that it can be, it is possible. And you now know, and you've learned the ways and methods and some of the considerations of how it can be done. And if it's energy like that, having to do with the sun or with heating and cooling, and it's about the knowledge, because knowledge is empowering. And when the traditional knowledge that we're given now is just, well, you're supposed to go to college. That's about the biggest knowledge you get now. Well, you got to go to college. There you go. Everything will be good if you go to college, because that's what you go to school for. Is to learn to read and write, do your math, and go to college. Because once that happens, then you'll have what? A job. But that might not have prepared you for anything that has to do with a natural reality. And I'm not, and I say that word reality because you have a reality that's in the technocratic world of technology and city structures and cars and planes and automobile, you know, all those different things. There's that reality, and there's the reality that actually supports everything, which is the natural reality of nature. That we don't need to maintain. We need to maintain the other reality, or else it'll just fall apart and not work. You need cheap energy right now to keep it running. You know, oil, coal, and gas. You need that to keep it running or just completely fall apart. If nobody's ever thought about that before, and PDC may help bring those things to light, is everything we do is run on oil. I mean, everything you basically sit on, lots of times, especially in the cars, unless you have leather, you know, but inside there, there's just oil everywhere. We're saturated in oil, and it keeps this whole economic machine going. So understanding that, and then understanding that reality, and then understanding the other reality, that oil came from fossils, you know, fossil fuels, from nature a long time ago, and that you might run, you know, you're not going to have the oil in the quantities you're going to have forever because it's not this infinite source of energy. It's a lot more finite than the sun. So, you know, that's the push for people trying to run into solar panels and get solar energy and do these types of things like that. But this is the thought process. And I believe that taking the PDC and starting to study permaculture initiates this thought process where you can do it and you can have these thoughts in a holistic fashion, because, and meaning holistic is in the sense of you can have the whole thing, not just think about solar panels. You can think about where the sun is. You can think about where the water is, where the community is, where the financial system is. That's something that's even addressed in the course, is how, you know, financial institutions and how they could be set up, how communities could be set up. There's that's what I see is part of the future for, like, my generation, or even this college generation that's coming, because there's more and more college kids, I'd say, they're thinking more about ecology, you know, the biosphere. That's becoming a big thing now, is realizing that there's this giant organism and we're part of it. It's not like, it's not just what kind of, I mean, I grew up, I never thought about that at all. To me, it was just like, well, what restaurant do you kind of want to go to? What kind of food do you feel like eating? You know, where are we going to go on a trip? Maybe. What am I going to do for work just so I can get money to buy the things that I want or things I think I need? Now, there's it's creeping in. We're learning that we've got to kind of realize that we're part of the biosphere. Like, all of us are. All humans are actually, we're part of this organism. And it works, and this is part of the things you learn in the PDC too, is that nature works in concert. Everything works together and feeds off and dies and feeds and dies and replenishes itself and keeps moving forward.
Well, and it makes me think of the third ethic, which is the fair share. So how many of us are actually taking our fair share, or how many are taking more than their fair share? And I think that's really the point, is like when Joey said that we're surrounded by oil, like all this plastic, everything, you know, is plastic, 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 plastic. And if we use all this stuff without even thinking about it, is that, are we taking our fair share or more than our fair share? Is, if we think of the deer in the forest and the, you know, the bears, and, you know, you just think of nature, everyone kind of gets along and they realize that, you know, that tree's for the deer and those things over there for the squirrels. And here, we don't even think twice about this stuff. We just take whatever we want, and how the PDC helps is it's just, again, to help build the awareness. It opens up this kind of your eyes so that you can then go forward and, you know, like, as I've said before in this, you know, when I sit here on Joey's farm, I can't, I'm 100% think about permaculture all the time. You know, like, because it's like, wow, what are we doing here? And, like, I really think, you know, we're making a difference because we're at least aware. If you're not aware, then it's sad. And I was very unaware for a long time.
And on that topic of awareness, I want to, for anybody who hasn't, like, seen the Permaculture Design Manual by Bill Moles in the Big Book, and kind of how a lot of PDCs are based on. I want to go over, I'm going to just read off the chapters, because I've been saying, oh, the PDC covers certain things. Well, let me...
Let's get specific.
We'll get specific here, that they try to cover it where they have an introduction, kind of talks about the ethics and permaculture and the idea, how it came along. And then they want to go into call for action, like, what kind of things are going on in the environment and in the world that would say, hey, kind of we need to wake up and start to think about some alternative ways to exist. Then they go into concepts and themes in design. So that has a whole range of different things that are involved in just that topic right there. Then you could move on to the methods of design. So how do you design? What are the different things with the maps and all sorts of elements that go along with that? Then pattern understanding, how to understand, looking at the patterns in nature. Because when you design now, the call is to not design all our square streets and square buildings and all these different things like that just because of that's how we want them to face. You know, it's like... designing and patterning our human habitation and construction more in line with the way that nature patterns itself for the way it's been doing for so long and very successfully. And then climate factors, how the climate around the world works. What are the different climate phenomenons? And why does the cold air blow from here and there and start kind of getting a little bit of a biosphere view of it, precipitation and how that happens, why it rains. Then tree, just a whole section on trees and their energy transactions. So that's a big deal about trees because of what all the functions that they do and the functions that forests do is a big study there, and it's something really important to understand. And even now, urban municipalities, urban set places are just understanding the complete value of trees. It's like there's tons of work being done on the value of trees in urban areas. Then you have just a whole section devoted towards water, just trying to understand water, earthworks for water, storing water, just tons of different things like that. Then you have just a whole section on soils where you're just coming up with all sorts of different... I mean, do they go into the science, into the biology? Because, I mean, the soil is the life. If you don't have humus, you don't have soil, you're dead. We're all dead because there's nothing growing for us to eat. There's nothing growing for anything else to eat. You know, there's an intense amount of life in the soil, and that's a whole big thing to study. And then we have earth working and earth resources. There's stuff about that. Humid tropics. Now they get into the different climates on the earth, the different major climates, which you got the humid tropics. And then within those, when in the course, they talk about strategies for living in those humid tropics. What are the considerations? What are the way you build your houses traditionally and for the best, you know, energy saving kind of deals. You're looking at how you're going to farm that and how you're going to live there and with a garden. Then you've got, and the precipitation, all the different attributes of that humid tropics. Then you've got dry land strategies, you know, what's going on in the dry land, how to build a house, what are some different methods, what are some different examples of gardening how you live there. Same with then you move to hot, humid, cool to cool to cold climates. So that's like temperate zones and where it's a humidity kind of back east here in North America would be an example. That temperate, just all sorts of things that go along with that. Same thing, the home design, what you're looking for, what you're preparing for, and those ideas of understanding that those zone too. And then aquaculture. I mean, because when you get into the humid tropics, and even in the temperate, where you have a lot of rain, you have a really, or you can really concentrate water into one spot, you have a real intense, you can get intense production and yields from aquaculture. So that's a real important thing that's focused on, because there's so much production that can come from aquaculture. So they really put a lot of focus on that. And then you have the strategies for an alternative global nation. So even at the end, Bill put in here to try to come up with a whole strategy on how to, organize all sorts of things, developmental stuff, property trust, village development, money and finance, land access, an ethical investment movement. He was trying to think about everything. So in that, that's it. So when you have, that's what you're going to be getting into when you take that PDC, and it's a great place to start. I didn't do that in the beginning. I got the book and I actually read it. So, but most people don't want to read a giant book. So if you don't want to read the giant book right away, then you can get yourself into a PDC. It's a lot more fun. Because I can't say I had like tons of fun reading the whole book, but I like reading text. So it wasn't bad. And I would go out right away. I'd read something and I'd go out if I could, and I'd go out and I'd try it. Or I'd go look up something where somebody was trying it, or I'd just keep reading it until I tried to memorize it. But that's just me. But the course was fun. And I could go take the course again. And that's what happens when you start teaching it. Like a lot of people say, you start teaching it, and then you really start to learn it. So, I think that's covered. I think we did it.
Wow, Joey. So, everyone, try to find a PDC course near you. You could look at Craigslist. Just go to Google and type in your city name or your county and type in PDC. And the courses will come up. Or come to Southern California. We're going to have one here in March. There is another type of PDC. So Joey's is like a two-week course. Out here we have a guy, Josh Robinson, who's doing it. I think is it once a month, Joey?
I think it's
twice a month for 6 months.
2 weekends a month for 3 months, right?
Oh, 3 months. I don't know. Well, anyway, it's spread out, but there's a weekend course.
Right, and there's different formats. Even some people do one weekend. 1 day a weekend. I mean, you can do all sorts of creative things with it.
There's a program out there for you. So just, try to find something. And there's also the online course Jeff Lawton teaches. And there might be others. But Jeff Lawton, of course, is, the best. I mean, you can absolutely look up Jeff's website and look into that PDC. All right, so we're wrapping up at the end here. I just wanted to... I don't think we've mentioned this before, but Joey has a nonprofit organization that he started up called Evoke Hope. And we're starting to ramp up and get involved with the community. Coming up in October 12th, we have going to have a booth at the Alta Vista Gardens in Vista, California. And this weekend, if our banner comes, we're going to be at another group event, local fall festival at the Bates Nut Farm, and that will be fun. But really, we want to help people to have hope. It's not doom and gloom. We have courses like this, PDC, so that we can teach one another and support one another, to learn from one another, and to go out there and to build a future for our children and for us to enjoy. And, here at Joey's house, we've got 5 kids, 3 of them are his, and then we have another family that lives here. and they have so much fun, you know, learning, and, you know, it's just neat to see, you know, what their little minds, you know, how they work. And I want this to spread. This last weekend I went to a leader training. There's a nonprofit, a different nonprofit called kidsgrowingstrong.org. It's a California nonprofit. And they have an incredible training program, which I went to last weekend, and I was certified to start giving their little classes, and they have a lot of handouts and things. So visit their website at kidsgrowingstrong.org and also evokehope.org. And if you can, try to support the different groups, and that would be great. All right, Joey, thanks again. We'll see you again next week, right?
That's right. I'll be ready.
Should we pin you down on a topic now?
Heck no. We got to let it flow.
If you want to know what we're going to talk about, you need to just log in and see. All right. Have fun.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.